America's founder said that our rights come from the Creator, but abortion undercuts the right to life, the very first right that's enumerated in the Declaration of Independence. There's a battle today over abortion in many spheres of society, even in the halls of Congress. Recently, pro-life advocate Ryan Bomberger wrote an article for the Christian Post on how Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who is childless, was lecturing pro-life lawmakers who have children. We're going to talk about that article and that whole idea. And by the way, we'll link to that article right here in this post. This is Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb. And Ryan Bomberger, the author of that article, who is of the Radiance Foundation, he joins us now. Ryan, it's great to have you back in the program. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, it's great to be here with you.
So I guess it's no secret that AOC is in favor of abortion, but tell us about a new wrinkle in that story.
Well, this is the problem with pro-abortion advocacy. There's never any consistency. So when your entire worldview is based on a lie, you just don't make sense. And so it's not surprising that AOC doesn't make sense when it comes time to the issue of abortion. In fact, recently there was a hearing in Congress and she talked about how, you know, working class and poor people are basically conscripted. They're forced to give birth. And first of all, birth is a natural act. It's not a forced act. Abortion, the violence of induced abortion, is actually the forced act. But she went on to say that if you're a poor working class person, that you're basically conscripted to work, that you are forced to work against your will, which is absolute ridiculousness. I mean, she thinks of parenthood as conscription. I think of parenthood as a father of four. I think of it as responsibility. I mean, I use my body all the time to provide for my family. That's just the natural flow of things. It's not a forced thing. It's what happens when you become a father. And so this nonsense, she was also talking about how corporate America is aiding in this conscription, that they are forcing birth. When I find it ironic, since a lot of these corporations are actually funding the trafficking of women to other states where the violence of abortion is still legal.
Yeah, that's a very good point. And I understand she even talks about men getting pregnant.
Well, so, okay, this is part of the crazy contradiction. So on one hand, she's saying men can get pregnant. And then she is castigating one of the congressmen, Jake LaTourneur from Kansas, a Republican from Kansas, for speaking up and speaking out against whatever point she was trying to make about all this. And she's saying, you never had to contend with bearing a child. Well, neither has she. And by the way, you said men can get pregnant. So why are you misidentifying him? I mean, it gets so bizarre. I mean, he knows far more about what it takes to provide for a child, to provide for a family, than Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. I mean, she doesn't know what it's like to actually provide for a family. But she's there, scolding a congressman because he's not buying what she's trying to sell.
Yeah, and by the way, along these lines, I mean, she says the GOP reduces women to uterus holders while she objectifies women and calls them menstruating people and birthing people. Why is a woman fighting to erase women? I mean, these are some of the points that you make in that article. Anything you want to add to that?
Well, it's true. It's actually gotten so bizarre. You have recently, too, Governor Gretchen Whitmer, who referred to women as menstruating people and people with periods. Who is objectifying whom? I mean, you've got the radical left that is so – they are bowing so much to LGBTQ plus ideology that they are – that they're erasing themselves and yet accusing others of objectifying women when it's exactly what they're doing. Women are obviously far more than just those who have babies, more than just birthing people. But the fact that they don't want to even mention the word women, that saying woman is so – it's anathema to this progressive ideology that you have to go so far out of your way in that denial at the same time that you're saying, you know, no uterus, no say. Well, which is it? Which is also strange too, because women who have hysterectomies don't have uteruses, so they're not allowed to have a say in the violence of abortion. Every human should have a say when it comes to the violence of abortion, because it affects every single one of us.
You know, you have a T-shirt that you've worn sometimes that says less activism, more factivism. And everything you're saying today reminds me of that slogan on that T-shirt. Interesting points.
It's true. I mean, this is what happens, though, with activists. They're so caught up in the emotion of things that, you know, reason, fact, none of that has any place in there. That's why, as a factivist, as a Christian, we have to fuse the emotional with the evidential. I mean, we're the ones who understand the context and should understand the context of things. When you have context, you have clarity. Unfortunately, the progressive left, the radical left, all they want to do is they give us, you know, they feed us a daily diet of confusion and chaos. And unfortunately, the ones who are actually most impacted by that right now, this current sexual revolution, are our children. They're being indoctrinated. They're being encouraged to say yes to drugs. When I was a kid, it was just say no to drugs and to body mutilating surgeries. That's the end game of all this.
Wow.
Is that going into this basic denial of who we're created. We're created in the image of God. He created us male and female. And unfortunately, those like AOC deny those basic truths.
You know, it's interesting too, when you were talking about the responsibilities of being a parent, being a father and so forth. And the same thing for, you know, mothers and so forth when they have children the responsibilities to that, that's a real waking up and growing up type of process. And yet millions, tens of millions, in fact, huge swaths of our society, of young people today, are not going down that road. And it doesn't lead to a good future, in my opinion, because they never really learn to grow up.
No. And actually, here's another one of those massive contradictions. So here you have especially Generation Z and many millennials.
Can you define Generation Z?
Generation Z, I guess they're those who are 18 to, you know, late 20s.
Okay.
That's the most recent generation. So they are the ones right now, you know, who voted mostly in the last election for Democrats. They voted mostly for those who actually believe that everybody else is responsible for you, but yet you're not responsible, particularly as a parent, for the one closest to you. This is the bizarre contradiction. Everyone else needs to pay off your school loan. Everyone else needs to pay for this for you. Everyone else needs to do this for you. You're not the reason to blame for, you know, X, Y, and Z, which is bizarre. Everyone else is responsible. And they're the same people that say you're not responsible for the most important life. And for mothers, the one that is the life that is inside of her. It's a tragic sort of worldview that's so broken and can only lead to this reckless sort of reality that we live in.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're not willing to protect, you know, the child that you've helped to procreate, why would anyone else care once they're born? Yeah. And why should anyone else care once they're born?
And by the way, one thing that it always seems to get lost in the shuffle are the safe harbor laws or the safe haven laws. Right. Would you explain what that is and how it shows that, okay, if somebody is in a tragic situation where they feel like they cannot, you know, have a baby at this time, that doesn't mean they should necessarily kill that baby at this time, because it's wrong to kill a baby at any time.
Right. Safe haven laws are laws set up, and every state has safe haven laws. Some of them vary, but basically you can give birth to a child and drop that child off at an approved location, like a fire station, a hospital, police station, no questions asked, and the child can be placed there. There's typically a box or some type of a facility there where that child is able to be dropped off. No one's going to ask you questions. There's no prosecution, nothing. And that can, and again, state by state, it varies until how old that child is. But this is another means by which, if you are not ready to parent right now, it's a beautiful means in which you can step back and allow someone else to be that rescue for that child. And so there are these safe haven laws. We also have 3,000 pregnancy centers, which AOC just pretends they don't exist, or when she wants to talk about how they need to all be shut down. But there are 3,000 plus pregnancy centers from coast to coast that provide all kinds of care, material support, emotional support, medical support. The list goes on and on for mothers and their children and fathers as well. There are also 450 plus maternity homes that take in a mother and her child and care for them for 2 years. All kinds of programs that go on from, you know, life skills training to GED completion. The list goes on and on. But the radical pro-abortion left never wants to talk about these resources that are available or these means that are available to where someone doesn't actually have to be conscripted. Let me just use her words. No one has to be. That's just bizarre speak for those who want to demean the beauty of motherhood.
You know, this is really important what we're talking about here. These loving pro-life alternatives that are often, you know, ignored, or they're even called, you know, like in the case of Elizabeth Warren, she actually called the crisis pregnancy centers. She said that they do harm. She used that word, harm. They do harm. Are you serious? These are loving. These are centers that are providing loving alternatives. And I just think we need to let people know, though, there are these loving alternatives. And one of the messages the pro-abortion side often sort of kind of drills down to the culture at large is that, well, the pro-life community, if you're a pregnant mother, you know, with and you're thinking about abortion, we only care, the pro-life people only care once that baby's born. Once the baby's born, bye-bye, we'll see you later. You know, we don't care at all. There's no help for you. Bye-bye.
Right. Well, this is why I'm always just exposing the fraud of the pro-choice movement. I'm putting that in quotes, pro-choice. It's really just faux choice. People like Senator Warren, who want to actually shut down any other option other than the violence of abortion. They pretend that these other resources aren't out there. They pretend that there isn't help. They pretend that actually women aren't strong enough to actually face the unplanned. And so they keep using, you know, demonizing terminology like, you know, pregnancy centers are fake clinics. No, the fake clinics are the abortion mills that pretend they are actually comprehensive women's healthcare providers. They're not. They provide the violence of abortion. They provide birth control, and that's about it. I mean, there isn't much. I mean, pap tests, look at 2020. Planned Parenthood reported 200,000 less pap tests and breast exams. Now, people say, oh, well, because of COVID, but yet they committed 30,000 more abortions that year. The highest number of abortions ever, over 380,000 abortions, more than they ever have done before. I mean, Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry, they're always talking about how they're leading women healthcare providers. They're not. It's just it's a PR stunt. What they do provide is the violence of abortion and little else. If a woman chooses to be a mother, they're like, okay, sorry, see ya. You won't find, for instance, baby boutiques inside of abortion mills. Baby boutiques are little area, well, actually in some very large areas that provide all kinds of free material support, baby clothing, formula, diapers, furniture, maternity wear. The list goes on and on. Millions of these items are given out for free by pregnancy centers every single year. How many are given out by abortion mills? Zero. Because they're only interested in ending the life, ending parenthood.
Okay, we have about a minute left. You keep using the phrase, the violence of abortion. What would you say to somebody who would take umbrage with that phrase, the violence of abortion?
Well, I would say that anybody who agrees that when you kill an innocent human life and intentionally kill that human life and rip that human life apart limb from limb, that can only be done through an act of violence. And that's exactly what's happening. We like to pretend that it's not what's going on, which is why you don't see mainstream media showing what actual abortion is. NPR recently aired the audio of an abortion of a child being ripped apart inside of her mother's womb. But you'll notice that PBS and these mainstream media outlets never show you the actual visual violence. It's much easier to use euphemisms when you're hiding behind all kinds of nice little fun labels and pink banners and pink, you know, pink labels. But the reality is abortion is violence. It always kills at least one human life. Sometimes it even kills the mother.
Yeah. And it always leads, you know, to some blood and stopping a beating heart. Radiance.life for more information. Ryan Bomberger. Ryan, keep up the great work. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks so much. God bless.
Okay, you too. Bye-bye now.